So I'm pretty excited about this, and it's kind of a crazy story because we were talking in the first hour about Harley Davidsons, and I was talking about mine. My custom Harley that I had custom blue and pink flames painted on. And it's crazy because I came home and I sold it to some guy, and then one of my friends bought it from the guy that bought it off me. So this thing was recycled. It ultimately ended up getting stolen somewhere on Queen Street. But I'm going to show you guys the Harley. Joe from the bridge, show the fellas. There it is!
Wow, that's solid.
Wow.
Dude, that look at solid. The blue and pink custom flames, the custom rims. That thing was a monster.
What does a Harley cost? How much do you have to pump into a Harley?
I don't know. I think that thing was 50 grand.
Yeah, so it's like the equivalent of kind of mid-size SUV or something like that. Or although 50 grand, I guess, 20 years ago is probably a different story with inflation and all that. But, yeah, Harley, there it is. That's a beautiful-looking
wow.
bike you got there.
Those are custom pipes. Those things were so loud. And I always was like, why do guys have loud pipes on their bikes? But I had to get them. Everything was custom. I love that thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Get back into it.
R.I.P., bud.
Get back into it.
No way. That's.
But if you go, like, if you go easy riding or whatever, you know, like that, the movie Easy Rider, where you're out in a desert or something.
Dude, if I lived with my parents out in Alliston and it was just country roads and it's you go for a 5-minute drive on Sundays, maybe, but no way. No way would I ever go near that thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be driving around a city, but I know people that they'll go coast to coast, right? And you stay on certain highways and you just go cruising and you know,
I can get 70 miles to the gallon on this hog.
There it is. It would have a bit of a Harry and Lloyd vibe to it, I guess.
See, I went the other way.
That's a beautiful looking bike.
When I played for the Panthers, I think I told you guys this, I grew my hair long, and I bought a 1975 Cadillac Eldorado convertible.
There you go.
It was 20 feet long. Two-door with a rumble seat in the trunk. We had nine going to the bar in it.
That's
because you had three in the trunk.
Too. That's it loud. Was it pink or something?
No, it was white with white walls. And it still had original. It had like power windows, power doors. 1975 air conditioning. And the other thing that I painted on it said SS Noodles. It's like a boat. It's pretty
there
cool.
There you go. Yeah, see. That. I've never been, like I told you this earlier, like car guy, motorcycle guy, never yacht guy. Yacht guy is really ambitious.
Yeah.
Like yacht guy, you almost need to sit the kid down and say, come up with something else. Come up with a different life goal because the chances of you owning a yacht are very, very slim. But, two ways to go. You can get the Harley, you can get the bike, or you can go with the old school Cadillac.
Oh, yeah.
Both are going to make an impression, I'm sure.
The Caddy one day I was driving it and I didn't realize like there was a little bit of smoke that came out of the engine, like a little bit, like blue smoke. And I had an incident where apparently that was brake fluid and it was like it had gone out. So I was driving on the highway and I had no brakes.
No way. Yeah. You've told me that story before years ago. That would be, that's just terrifying.
I mean, yeah.
You got to ram it against the side rail until it stops.
I took it off the overpass. Like I had to, you know, basically bail out. And yeah, I took it into, I was able to get it safely off the highway with no brakes. Although this homeless guy who was standing at the side of the road had to dive out of the way because I crawled onto the median to get, because I was going to run into cars. But then I ended up in a Walmart parking lot and just doing circles and circles until it stopped. And then I just ran it into kind of a post to stop it. It was very scary.
That would be terrifying, man. That's as terrifying as you can get, basically, especially if you're on the highway. It's one thing if you're pulling out of your, you know, driveway or something. And
it was not good.
Well, you made it, Noodles. That's all that matters. Both of you guys. You survived the bike craze of the late 90s, early 2000s, and you survived the no brakes in the Caddy back in 04, 05 or whatever it was.
Yeah, 06, yep. Crazy.
So the Grappler has posted my most irrelevant team list on Twitter.
No.
So now I'm already going to hear it from some guy in Jersey who's immediately, this is what it's going to happen. Well, what about the Leafs? How many times has the Leafs been relevant over the last 30 years?
Yeah.
How many times
you knew that was coming, didn't you?
Oh, I knew it's, you know it's coming. That's
no
fine.
One cares about what people in New Jersey think.
There, that's my answer right there. That should be my response on Twitter, Instagram.
And that's the King Daddy Topper comeback every time where it's like, you guys are only relevant because you're the most valuable franchise.
Yeah.
And you have... Right. A series about you on Crave, and you guys are this, and you're talked about, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? You win squat. That's what the comeback. And if I was in New Jersey,
can't
if I was
that.
In Buffalo, and I was in Sacramento, I'd be saying the same damn thing to
cannot
you.
Argue. The list was not the most successful or the best winners or the biggest losers. Because guess what? The Leafs would be on that list. At least they haven't won a playoff round in 18 years. But being relevant... I understand that it hurts because if you're a fan of that team or you're in that market, but that's just the truth. The Leafs are like the Cowboys and the Yankees. They're relevant. They don't win anything.
How many playoff series have they won anything? How many playoff series have the Leafs won since 2002 when Carolina beat them out?
The next year.
Next year, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then they won right before the lockout. They won. They beat Ottawa. That was the Lalime. You know, Nieuwendyk goals in the third.
Holy smokes.
And then they lost the next round against Philly. Roenick turned the lights out on them in overtime.
You remember those goals against Lalime? Like, they were the exact same goal down the wall, right? Like a little snapshot that kind of went, was it five hole or through the body? Like
There was terrible. The game was, Ottawa scored quickly in the second to make it 3-1, I want to say, or 3-2. And at that point, I remember thinking this could still turn into a game, and it just never did. The Leafs just clamped down and shut them down. But I would guess they've won two rounds since that conference final in 2002.
Right.
Jeez. Yeah, nothing since the lockout. There's been a lockout since the lockout, and they still haven't won a playoff round. So I get it. If you're in Sacramento, yell and scream. If you're in Jersey or Arizona, whatever.
Well, I mean – honestly, we were, I don't know how we got on to this, but it's like now you've put yourself out there for bullets, basically.
Oh, I'm going to take it. I told the
guy. Because I'm like, I want nothing to do with this because I,
I'll take the bullets. It's my list. I'm standing by it.
No one cares about what people in New Jersey think.
People, I'm sure there will be a response like, what about Canadian teams? Should there be Canadian teams? And from that standpoint, I'll admit I'm biased. Like, are the Ottawa Senators relevant? No, they're not. Like, they're not. But they are in my world. You know, they are in this orbit.
Obviously, yeah. But me, too. I call games.
You call games all the time. So I'll admit my biases on that. Maybe I should have included Ottawa. Because, really, if you're going to take a step back, Ottawa is not relevant in the NHL in terms of what they've done in past years. You know, but it's they're a Canadian market, and it means more in these Canadian markets. And I think they get more attention. But I guess I have to admit my bias on that.
Well, and they did, I mean... When Dion went, where did they go? Conference final? Did they lose? They lost to Pittsburgh.
Conference
didn't they?
Final, that would have been 16 or 17.
4 years
that's
ago.
That's a while
ago.
Like, we're talking a few years here where Ottawa has just kind of been hanging around.
Well, rebuild. You know? Yeah, exactly. Sacramento, Buffalo, Arizona. Yeah.
Sacramento's the kid. Yeah, don't worry about the rest. You know, if you're in any of those other markets, just look at Sacramento. We can all make fun of them.
Yeah.
That's the whole nature of the beast. All right. Let's move off this. We've seen the bike.
Yeah.
The list is out there. We've heard about the caddy.
We've seen the bike.
The bike. It's a spectacular bike. It really is.
It is pretty cool.
What are the different names for a Harley? Like, you know, they call
that one's called a Harley Dyna Wide Glide.
Okay. All right. Good to know. It's up there. You can find it online. We'll be posting it. Let's fire up some confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Confirm or deny brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the fully redesigned 2022 NX250 Signature Package from just $258 biweekly for 39 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. All right, confirm or deny. We know the way this works. A statement will be made. We go around the table. We either confirm it or we deny it. This individual is the furthest thing from irrelevant. First one here. If Tom Brady plays next season, it will definitely be his last. Next year will definitely be his last if he does return. Confirm or deny?
I will confirm it, but I'm also going to confirm. I'm going to stick with my guns from yesterday. I do not think he's going to play this year. But if he does next year, I almost don't think it would be his last. Because
exactly.
it's like this guy, if he plays next year, what the hell's stopping him going to 50? He left a voicemail with somebody. It might have been Peyton Manning where he's like, I'm going to play till I'm 47. Remember that voicemail?
Yep.
He left that voicemail with somebody. He's like, I'm playing till I'm 47. But I don't think he's coming back, man. But I don't even know what the hell I'm answering here.
Well, I don't really know either. But I think you said confirm.
Confirm.
Yeah.
I'm denying it. I think he's going the distance. I think even if he changes teams, he might find another organization that helps him have success and protects him. And I think he wants to continue to play. I know the lip service about the family and Giselle and all that. And even Gronk, like did Gronk retire too? Like that statement or whatever he put out, it's almost like him and Brady were like thanking Tampa. Yeah, we're out of here. Peace out. But like, you know they'll resurface somewhere else. He is
a competitive freak. I don't think he's paying lip service to the family angle. I don't get the impression like that's who he is. I mean, he seems like he's really close with family, parents, all that kind of stuff. And that's legitimate. I can make the case for it. Everyone can. You're 45, you're 44, you've accomplished everything. Walk away. And walk away while you're still standing and you're all good. You know what I mean? Like, no major injuries or anything. He could just walk away as the greatest player of all time. And what's the difference between 7 rings and 8 or coming back for another year for an MVP? But he is a competitive freak, and he's addicted to playing football. And I think coming up with an answer right after the season is not reasonable, because his wife's happy to have him. They're probably already out of town. Who knows where the hell they are.
Right.
And he's going to take a few weeks and disappear. But I think in a few weeks he'll pick up a football and say, I want to play. And I think he'll have the chat. And I'm sure he's had the same chat for 3 or 4 years with his wife. And every time he wins, like, I'm going back to play football. So I do think in terms of this, confirm or deny, if he plays next year, it'll be his last. I have to deny that because we do this every year with him. That'll be it. Giselle doesn't want him to play. His kids are older. Guy's 44. He's still rolling. He's still got zip on his arm. His numbers are off the charts. I don't know if he's coming back next year, but if he does, I can't be convinced that that's going to be it. Until it happens,
and is it auto Tampa?
I'm not sure it's auto Tampa, although I think he likes the setup. Like, wouldn't you? The weather's nice.
He's got a good setup down there.
Yeah. But I would think if he comes back, 95% chance it's going to be in Tampa. Confirm or deny, the Maple Leafs should be actively chasing 2 defensemen before the trade deadline. Not just
100%
one, but a couple.
Confirm, 100% confirm. Top-end guy and a depth guy. That's what you need on that decor, and that's non-negotiable. Don't come at me with a graph or a stat. That's what's needed. End of story. That's it. So go ahead and do it.
I confirm. I think you need depth too, right? So you're adding somebody a veteran status that can help, not help, but maybe spell some of those kids in that if you have them in the bottom pairing. Kids, I include Dermott in there. I think Hall will get pushed down, so basically not kids, but another guy for depth, and I think there is a second pairing guy that is needed, somebody who can play critical minutes and develop chemistry with Jake Muzzin.
Yeah.
So, I guess for me it's 2, and I agree with you. If it's a higher end guy, is that higher end a second pairing defenseman? Or just a good defenseman.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's expecting a world class.
No, but Ben Chiarot, Ben Chiarot type of player, a guy who can play in your top 4 for sure, penalty kill, help exit the zone, be physical, like a really good complement to Muzzin. Just like Brody's a good complement to Riley. You got to find somebody that can fit in there, and then somebody else just. They had Ben Hutton. Was that last year or the year before? I kind of get them all mixed up.
Yeah,
that type of player, a guy who's got NHL games. And it's not Alex Biega. Like, Biega, he's 31 or whatever, and I like an NHL veteran defenseman.
Yeah, like, no, I'll confirm it too, based on the way it's worded. Should be actively. Doesn't mean they will. There has to be a price that you hit where you say we just can't continue to pay it. But I believe if you can upgrade on Liljegren, you do it. If you can upgrade on Hall, you do it. You might have to upgrade on Sandin. That doesn't seem like something you'd be looking to do right now. But if you can, this is not about, you know, the feelings of someone. This is about putting forth you got to get going, man. Like you got to win. You got to put yourself in a position to play Florida, to play Tampa. And if you're in a scenario where, you know, I don't know if you want Travis Dermott playing again in the playoffs. Like if you have someone else who brings a little bit of a different complexion to the game, or a different size or different experience, you might be. You know, you might be there in the end. You might have a third pairing of Sandin and Hall, and that works. Or Sandin and Liljegren, or Sandin and Dermott, whatever it is. But I think looking to upgrade on those guys, I don't think they're locks, and I don't think they should be.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say confirm. They should be actively looking to do that. Confirm or deny, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens should be in Cooperstown.
100% should confirm. Should be. I just think they're two of the greatest of all time. There's all kinds of arguments. And, Hayes, you got to admit, there was guys that went in the steroid that were in the steroid era that got into the Hall of Fame that just kind of escaped being caught or escaped being talked about.
Yeah.
But they went in. And I think these guys, they were such superstars, and they were superstars before steroids came out. Doesn't make it any better. And I don't know if there's something they can put on the plaque that reveals the truth or what would actually, I don't know.
Sure.
But put them in. Put them in.
Yeah, they can do that. It's their hall, right? At Cooperstown. Yeah.
And if the player says, I don't want to go in under those circumstances, then you're not going in.
Then you're out. Exactly. That's your problem. It's not an us problem anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I confirm it as well. I've been beating this drum forever. These are two of the greats of all time. We all know. We're all adults. We get what happened, what they were doing, regardless of what they've said publicly. But it's, you know, Cooperstown is about preserving history. They're a huge part of it. Barry Bonds has hit more home runs than anyone in history. He's got more home runs than anybody. And, yes, PEDs, all that kind of stuff factored in. But the guy, write that into the plaque. But if it's about history, I don't understand how you – I've never understood how you can have a sport and a museum where two of the primary characters in the history of the sport – are not in it because, you know, of the vetting process from 15 or 20 years ago.
I got news for you. The grappler just told us they're out and Ortiz in.
See, that there's your answer right there. How is David Ortiz in?
Who, he tested positive, I think.
He has been accused just like the rest of them. You know, and Bonds and Clemens at that time, baseball rules, they were not testing for it.
Let me ask you this. Is it a popularity contest too? Bonds for sure is an unlikable character, is he not?
Yes.
And he treated the media like garbage, did he not?
Yes.
And I'm sure Roger Clemens probably falls in line with that as well. I don't think he was Mr.
The argument is you know, it's gotten personal with the voters, you know? Like, who was the guy? Was it Hub or whatever that called Rogers was calling him bum or whatever like that?
Hub, like, Arkush.
You're right. Like, he even admitted, like, it was personal. Like, I'm not going to vote for him because I don't like the guy or whatever. Like, it seems like it's become personal instead of just looking at the player.
Well, I also think it was the voters dug their heels in 10 years ago, and then they just decided, if that was the way I felt for that long, I'm not going to change my mind. I think some voters, a lot of voters did. Because you got to hit a certain threshold, right? You got to get to 75% of the vote, and I haven't seen the percentages come in. But Ortiz, this was his first year eligible, and he's going in. And he should be in. David Ortiz is 100% a Hall of Famer. Absolutely. But he has been accused, and he has been associated. And I don't know what's true or not. But, you know, if Ortiz is going in, what about A-Rod? Like, that'll be the next one. And A-Rod, there's no denying it. He was suspended for it. Like,
I think he got caught twice.
And admitted to it. First lied and then was like, yeah, you got me. Like, there's no question about A-Rod. So you have to hold the same standards, even though I apply the same logic to A-Rod that I would with Bonds and Clemens. He should be in.
I don't know what happens.
A-Rod's one of the greatest players of all time.
I don't know. I just know about the process of getting caught and who handled it and who didn't it. All I know is when Jason Giambi got caught with steroids, he came out and said, I did it, I'm sorry. And nobody ever talked about him again. Everyone left him alone. Everyone never even said his name again when it came to steroids because he just said, I screwed up and I'm sorry. And it was done. I don't know. I don't know. He's not a Hall of Fame player, is he?
Giambi?
No, he's not. Giambi's not a Hall of Fame. He had a couple of great years. But
yeah, as far as like the apology, it was perfectly played by him, his agents, his handler, whatever. He just said, you know what? I got busted. Sorry. And it was never talked about again.
Didn't the slugger in Milwaukee? I remember watching him in Chicago one night. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Ryan.
Ryan Braun. I remember we had pretty good seats, and people were chirping him about, you know, PEDs and that, and he was just kind of smiling at them. And then he went and cracked one. He almost hit it out of the park, like legitimately hit it out of the park. And he came across home plate. He, like, looked at our section, was smiling. Like, basically, I'll show you how, you know, how good I am.
He was greasy the way he handled his positive test.
Didn't he blame somebody?
He did. He blamed the courier. And said that the courier, it was like crazy. His weaselly trying to get out of it. Like this guy screwed
some of the in. Some of the explanations for getting caught with steroids. There was a kid in Toronto here that I loved, Cabello, or what was his name? There was a Blue Jay that I loved. Yeah, he got busted and he was like brokenhearted and he was crying, saying he loved the game. But I just wanted to call him and say, dude, there's no way they screwed this up. Like you got caught.
And he never played again.
I know, he never played again. And he had a great year that year.
He did, yeah.
And he was like, I would never disrespect the sport. And I would never – I just wanted to say to him, dude, you got to stop this nonsense.
Yeah, well, but there was an example of a guy on the fringe of the league.
Yeah,
right.
Where more – like, you can talk about ethics and morals and stuff, but I think a lot of people, if they're being 100% honest, would say, I can either play in AAA.
Yeah.
Clean, yeah. Or take PEDs and play in the bigs.
And have a shot to stay there for 10 years.
And make a lot of money and be a, you know, a major league player and maybe a pension and all that. A lot of people are choosing the second door. With Truth Serum. But that's why it was so difficult to chew on that Bonds would be doing it or Clemens or, you know, Ryan Braun. Like these are – Bonds was already one of the 25 greatest players of all time. Right. And then – he takes it allegedly, and then next thing you know, boom, it's a completely different history.
I think it's sad those guys aren't going in. I don't know them. I don't care about them. I think it's sad for the game.
But the criteria, I don't know if it's been a moving target or not. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, O.J. Simpson's a Hall of Famer in the NFL. Is he not?
He was in rescinded before everything, though. He was in – he went in the 80s, I believe.
Right, but can you – like, my question would be, if somebody does something like that egregious, I know he was...
Can you take them out?
Yeah, could you take him... Has somebody ever been taken out of the Hall?
I don't... Not that I'm aware of. You can. Like, I always say this. You don't have to go to the Supreme Court. It's your museum.
Right.
You know, like...
What did you describe it as? It's a barn with
plaques. It's a hall with plaques.
It's a room with some plaques.
It's a hall with some plaques in there.
It's a hall with some plaques in there. Mullen's pulling everything out today. It's a hall with some plaques in it. But this is why I say it's a hall with some plaques. We talk about, like, you can't take him out. They could if they wanted to.
Right.
You're not getting sued.
If anybody should be taken off a wall, it's that cat.
Well, that's what I mean.
But like, I think that's a slippery slope. That's why I wouldn't do that. I would add to the plaque. Be like, now afterwards, this is what happened. And everyone knows. You know, no one's going to show up and be like, oh, OJ, I forgot about him with the Bills. Well, what's he up to these days?
What, are you going
to
have a picture on the plaque of him putting on the glove? Like you know.
You can add to it. Like, you can – or then it's a slippery slope. Like, OJ's an extreme example that everyone would look at and say, I don't need OJ. But then you start looking, well, what about 80 – you know how society works now where we apply today's standards – to 100 years ago, and
that's
I don't think that that's fair, and I think it's silly, and I think a lot of times we trip all over ourselves and start doing these stupid practices that are meaningless and don't actually push anything forward. There's no progressiveness behind it, and that's my point. It's all of a sudden you go to Cooperstown, you're like, wow, this was a bad dude in 1918. He should be out because he said this or that, you know, and then it becomes a slippery slope where it gets to a point and you're like, okay, what are we vetting anymore? And that's how I get back to my point about the this Hall of Fame. It's, I don't care about the character. I don't care about what they do or say off the field. It's what did you do on the field? Were you worthy of the Hall of Fame? Put them in.
Well, that's what it comes back to then. I agree. Like, in your particular sport, were you one of the best? And Bonds and Clemens were.
100%.
So they should be there then. Like, that's the difference.
In our opinion. Now, clearly voters, they have their own opinion. Like,
right.
There's, you're entitled to your own opinion. And if you have a vote and you stand by it, then go for it.
Yeah,
you know,
good on you.
And that's what they've decided to do. So Bonds and Clemens are off. Schilling's off the voters' ballot. That's 10 years. But David Ortiz is in. Confirm or Deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the 2022 RX350 all-wheel drive premium package from just $288 biweekly for 39 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. All right, Dallas Braden will join us. We'll get a player's perspective on this. What does he think of Clemens not going in, Bonds not going in? What does he make of Ortiz going in? He played against Ortiz, would have pitched against David Ortiz. So get his take on that and more coming up with Dallas. Maybe a little Confirm or Deny after dark. And our farmer's picks. We got a pick for Torrey Pines.
That's right? A greasy tournament. Do you go with a guy like Patty Reed who greased it up? I think last year.
He won it last year. That was the cheat gate. That was when McIlroy and the boys were like, what's this guy up to over there? You talk about a guy who could grind through a mental lapse. Like he took off on the weekend after cheat gate.
Yeah, he was finger painting in the grass in the rough.
Yeah.
And it was doing weird stuff. And
it was really weird stuff. Yeah, really weird stuff. But he's out there. He'll be doing his thing. So we'll get to those picks later this hour as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so the news is in at Cooperstown. David Ortiz is going in. He is going in his first year on the ballot. He's a Hall of Famer for sure, but there's always been debate whether or not anyone should go in on the first ballot, which was so stupid. Remember, like Babe Ruth didn't go in his first year. Had to wait. He had to sit there and wait a year, I believe.
Some donkey didn't vote for Jeter, didn't he?
Yeah, I know, because it was, I think, that was the stance. Like, you got to wait 1 year to get my vote for whatever reason, but that's changed. And Ortiz goes in with 77.9% of the vote. You got to get to 75 to get in. Bonds was at 66. Clemens was at 65.2, which is intriguing because that means three guys voted for Bonds that didn't vote for Clemens. And how do you include that? Like, Bonds should go in, but Clemens I just can't accept.
Yeah, because it's personal.
Maybe.
They probably had a bad interaction with him. That's
probably
what it was.
So Bonds and Clemens are done in terms of the voting. They're out after 10 years. Curt Schilling as well. Here is a longtime MLB pitcher, one of our favorites. We have him on all the time through the baseball season. Here is Dallas Braden. What do you make of Big Poppy going in on his first time into Cooperstown?
Well, I think that's let's start there, because there should be congratulations due and all the respect due on a day like this to the individual or individuals who have their names called, who do receive that phone call. And it's really cool for me because this is a guy that I got to play against, a guy that I know. So to see him be honored, to see his talent and his production be acknowledged and now emblazoned in Cooperstown. Like I tweeted, Large Father is a baseball god, and there's no taking that away from him now, ever. The plaque will hang, forever. And that is really special. Aside from that, I think there's, I don't even know if there's outrage any longer, more so disappointment. And it kind of feels like, you know, that first time, whoever it is that you really love and respect when you're a little kid, when they tell you, I'm not even mad at you, I'm just disappointed. You're like, oh no, God. And it kind of feels that way. Like, I'm just kind of disappointed. Without getting really crazy, you got to remember there is the today's game committee or the today's game ballot that those individuals, Bonds, Clemens, will go on. Who knows? Who knows what that looks like? But as of right now, it's just the same thing that I think everybody says and everybody understands. You have one of the best pitchers to ever, ever play the game of baseball, and you have the greatest player to ever play the game of baseball, and they're not in the Hall of Fame right now. And does that make any sense?
It does. It doesn't to me, Dallas. Do you think that if their personalities were any different, that this would be different, this result?
Well, look, this is what a Big Poppy first ballot does for you. Is it really, if you didn't think it mattered, this is the evidence. This is the hard-hitting, cold-cut evidence. This is the proof. What do you need? This is the writing on the wall. This tells you. Why? Because he's a larger-than-life personality. He's a quality human being when you have interactions with him, like from a player's perspective, from a media perspective, from, I mean, you know, I'm just like I'm sure all of us could tell you, hey, ask my friends. I'm a decent human being. But everybody feels that way about this guy. That can't necessarily be said for the aforementioned, right, for a Bonds type, for a Clemens type. And, you know, it's odd when you hear some of these writers talk today throughout the days-long broadcast about how things are gone about through the voting system and the idea of withholding a first ballot nomination because that means something. Well, forgive me for asking, but isn't that an unwritten rule within the writers' world, within the writers' realm? And remember, these are the same writers who are casting shadows and casting doubt on folks and laughing at folks who might adhere to quote unquote unwritten rules. But here they are, you know, readily talking about doing that to people just as a sign of like, no, can't do it because whatever, because that's just something that's happened. What? Come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? The Hall of Fame, as I have long said, it's a museum that tells the history of the game. I will let I will let your mom and dad, your aunt and uncle tell Kenny, Tammy, Tommy, and Teresa just how bad these human beings were. If that's what you want to gather from going to the Hall of Fame, if that's what you want to take away, then I'll let you be the arbiter of character in that regard. What this museum is doing is telling you the good, the bad, and the ugly of the sport and the history of baseball as it has evolved and who the players at the pinnacle in their careers gave something, contributed to the game on a level that allowed it to get to the point where we're at now, quibbling over billions of dollars in the industry. And you mean to tell me that the men and then the women who have had the impact that they've had on the game, and in this case just the men, they don't belong there? That's the museum you want to visit? That's how you're going to tell me the story of Major League Baseball?
Everything you just said there about the personality, it's almost like they wanted to put it in the face of Clemens and Bonds by making Ortiz a first ballot Hall of Famer, saying, well, there you go, guys, if you just hadn't have been jerk. I don't know what the reasoning is, but that's the kind of the chat on Twitter right now. It's like first ballot for Big Poppy.
And what's tough about this, too, is this is all of these writers have one vote that equals the same, but unfortunately they all have different levels of morality, right? Is kind of what this is boiling down to. And so it's whose moral compass did you send into a tizzy? That's what you have to worry about, you know, not the dirt under your spikes and the numbers on the back of the card, but it's were you a quality human being to this individual? And when I mean to, I don't mean directly to this individual, but does this individual think you are of high standing character? You know, who are they to be judging that? Oh, they have a Hall of Fame vote. They're not the judge and jury on who you are as a human being. But that's going to prevent you from achieving the ultimate glory, which you set out when you were 6 years old dreaming about. Like, I want to be the best ever. That's why I'm wearing my uniform right now before bed to go crush this T-ball game. Because maybe 40 years from now, maybe, just maybe, I'll have my grill plastered on a plaque in Cooperstown, and that'll mean something to me. But the way that this is going right now, it's really tough for that to mean much.
Well, isn't part of the onus then on Cooperstown to adjust the rules and or at least to adjust what they suggest should go into the voting process? In other words, because I know voters, friends with voters, and I've seen them posting online, and they go to integrity, they go to character, and they say, this is what Cooperstown is asking us to take into consideration. And with that in mind,
that's
I can't do it.
That's now become a scapegoat.
Well, but then,
in my opinion, that has now become a scapegoat
they get
for
rid of
people
it.
Who do have a slight against people who play the game. Oh, you don't like the way that this has gone. You don't like the way this individual treated you during a home run chase.
Well, but the PEDs,
you don't like the way
though,
this
Dallas,
individual treat-
the, the PEDs are like, that's legit. Like if that's your belief that they used them and that's what changed maybe their stats or their history, or their legacy, I don't agree with it. I would put them in, but if that's the stance, that's the stance. But the way they use the utilization of the character and integrity and all that kind of stuff is applied to that as much as it is applied to the sanctimony of the guy was not a good guy to me or whatever.
If they are of such moral standing, such high moral standing and such upstanding character, how come I don't hear any of these folks beating the drum to clean out the Hall of Fame? Why are they just okay with the clouds of suspicion of yesteryear? And they're okay with just moving on from that. Why do they turn their heads when they hear veterans already in the Hall of Fame talk about the usage of amphetamines, but how they believe it's different from a usage of a steroid?
Right.
Why aren't they beating the drum to clean out the Hall of Fame so that they can actually get what they want? They're okay with just moving it on. They're okay with allowing those eras to exist then. Well, that's the idea of a museum, is it not? There might be some stuff you don't like in there, but it's going to tell you the story of how we got here. And you mean to tell me that you, as a human being of flesh and blood and bone, just like myself, are in a position to tell me that I'm not worthy?
Well, with Dallas Braden, I think you hit on a good point about the amphetamines and what was going on in the 70s and 80s, where all the voters, they knew what was going on then. They knew they were in the
in
the clubhouse. They saw these guys popping the pills for day games.
They joke about. Trust me, I talk to writers all the time who still understand and talk and joke about the idea of two different pots of coffee. Right? That, like that's something that kind of shocked the media when that became a thing or when that became common knowledge, and it's something that's joked about all the time because it's just something that was understood. Wow, what a concept!
Well, we'll see what happens here with Bonds and Clemens in the future if they get in with this new, you know, the layers of voting and they're into this new category now. But they're two of the greats of all time, and they're not going in based on the way everyone else has for the longest time. And
think about what your trip to Cooperstown would be like. What's it going to be like? You're going to go there. And you're going to have some major holes to fill. Major holes to fill
yeah.
if you're telling the story to somebody who's learning about the history of the game for the first time. You're not going to be able to make some pretty important stops. It's going to be up to you to tell the history of the game, not the actual stories that have been voted on that they want to be told.
That's
what the Hall of Fame now represents.
Do you think A-Rod will get in?
No. Do I believe he should be? Yes.
Yeah. He's in the same.
But it's almost weird. There's almost a weird, like, if Bonds and Clemens get in, then A-Rod kind of, like, dorky stepbrother fumbles his way in, too, because everybody at the end of the day is like, it was so egregiously clowny at times. Like, he was really good still at baseball. Can we just put him in, too, and shut him up? But
yeah.
It almost feels like that might happen, you know? But I could understand, because of how egregious the activity was between him and baseball and the union, and I could understand where folks might just be like, look, we're not even entertaining it. Like, no.
That's going to be the next one. That'll be the next conversation, I'm sure. A-Rod will be – he'll represent what Bonds and Clemens have for the past decade for sure. Always love having you on, Dallas. Love the passion, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the offseason. Let's hope pitchers and catchers are there in a few weeks. I don't know how you're feeling on that front, but we'll see.
Oh, God, my fingers are crossed. I love this game too much for it to not be giving back to the fans what it can be, what it deserves to give back to the fans. So I hope for all of our sake we've got whips cranking come February.
Yep, we're looking forward to it. All right, buddy, we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
We'll see you guys.
There's Dallas Braden, former MLB pitcher and analyst out in Oakland.
Compelling argument.
Yeah, listen, I concur with what he's saying about the history, the museum. These guys were huge parts of it. They're incredibly
famous.
And yeah, and you know, just to keep them out. But every explanation I have read online or heard is the booklet that's sent from Cooperstown. Take these notes into consideration before making your vote. And as a result, voters don't vote for Bonds or Clemens because they don't see integrity, they don't see character, where if you just get rid of that, Does it change anything? Maybe it doesn't. You know, maybe then it does just get back to sanctimony, and they're like, I didn't like Bonds. He was mean to me. Clemens was mean to me. I think there's certain guys that's definitely the case. Player was mean to me, so I'm not voting for it, which is ludicrous and so childish, but I think it's a reality and it's real life. But if you just change the checklist, simple, who was the best player? Don't consider anything else. Who was the best player you covered? Put them on the list. There's no way Bonds and Clemens aren't in there.
No.
There's no way A-Rod's not going to be in there. So that that's the next wave is Alex Rodriguez. All right, we'll come back with our picks for Torrey Pines and the Farmers. A great field.
And, you got to golf your ball there. This ain't no Amex.
Johnny Rahm, although last time he was on that course, he had himself a pretty good time. Very good time.
Doesn't mean it'll happen again, though. Watch yourself with that selection.
We'll see how it goes.
All right, Noodles,
you
make sure you
get the pad ready, Noodles.
I'm ready.
All right, we'll
I'm
get
ready.
To that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so we mentioned earlier that Fred VanVleet is out tonight. Now Scotty Barnes is out as well.
Yikes.
Wrist tightness.
Yeah, he's dealing with a wrist issue. VanVleet's dealing with a knee issue. So...
not good.
Yeah, this is going to be a grind. You got Ken Burch, who's obviously still out. So those are you know, two starters. Burch, a guy coming off the bench. It's not going to be easy. Charlotte in town, and that's a team you're chasing in the East. So this will put a lot of onus on Pascal Siakam tonight. OG Anunoby tonight. Gary Trent Jr. coming off injury. He's been back now for a couple of games. He's going to have to play some minutes tonight.
That LaMelo Ball does some cool things out there.
He's outstanding. Well, I mentioned irrelevant earlier. A lot of people are mentioning Charlotte. And believe me, they could be absolutely included. A notable, irrelevant franchise. But I think
all
LaMelo,
it takes is a superstar to kind of make that
thing.
Jersey cool again. And people start coming to the games
that's
and
right.
buying that jersey.
Right. Well,
that's all it takes.
John Morant's doing the same thing. You know, like everyone's.
Yeah, he is.
Everyone's like, well, what about Memphis? Like Memphis is, and yeah, Memphis has been irrelevant for a while, but Ja Morant, and they're a really good team this year. They're winning a lot of ball games in Ja Morant, so I'm not going to include them in terms of irrelevancy.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the Farmers at Torrey Pines, and these guys
good
love
course,
Boston picks,
great
don't
field.
They? The course is spectacular, and I saw Justin Thomas posting. I saw Dustin Johnson with an Instagram post. They got those new, what are they, the Tour 360 Adidas shoes are out. They look phenomenal.
Do they ever.
They're so
do
money.
Do they ever.
Yeah, they're money. And Shoffley will be rocking. Apparently Xander was like a big part of the whole design with the bringing the Tour 360s back from Adidas. So shout out to those guys. But who's getting the first pick? Here, how are we doing this? I don't remember last week.
I think it's me. I think
Oh, actually, Hayes, you went first last week.
I went first last week? All right. So, you've got the pick. What are we doing, a five-pack here at the Farmers? Or
We'll start with a five-pack and maybe sniff around other things.
Okay.
I got to go with Johnny Rahm.
Yeah, you know you're taking Rahm. I mean, you have all to, consider what he did on that course last year.
Rahm.
You know what? I'll go Shoffley. I'm going to go Xander.
Dude, we pick this guy like he's this.
He never wins.
I know, but we pick him like he's in the most high regard.
He's a top 10 player. I believe he's still in the top 10 rankings. Yeah. I'll take Xander.
I got to go with a guy that I really like, and there's a reason, because he dominates, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, I know. He's not getting a lot of love this weekend, but why would he not dominate this course? Up until the 10th tee at the U.S. Open, this individual was having himself a very good time. And then he started puking all over himself. I think he shot like a 43 in the back. I'll take Bryson.
Oh, God.
He gets
a lot of love, too, for just spraying it all over the golf course.
He was the 54-hole leader, though.
Dude,
he was
cruising.
He was cruising. And then you talk, like, he was shanking balls and sculling balls. It was ugly.
Yeah. I'll go with my guy, JT.
Yeah.
I love my roster right now. Jesus.
Rahm, DJ, and JT is a very good start. All right, I'm gonna go outside the box here. I'm gonna take a guy, sneaky good introduction to the tour last year. I think he's legitimately one of the most consistent players on tour. My boy Sam Burns.
Yeah, I will take that's a good pick.
Sammy Burns,
I think, will be heard from at Torrey Pines.
Yeah. Right. I gotta go with a guy that's on the scene and I think will do some great things. Scotty Scheffler.
Yes. He's gonna get one. It's a matter of
he
time.
Is the chef.
He's gonna get one. I'm thinking outside the box this week. Like I'm gonna go with No, I'm not taking Sanjay. I don't even know if he's in the field. At some point, he's got to take a week off.
He is.
He's the new VJ. He just plays every single week. I'm going to take Max Homa. Max
Homa.
Homa loves Cali Golf.
Max Homa, and we got to take a Canadian each. Oh, we got one more pick each.
Yeah, one more each, and then a Canadian. Go ahead.
All right.
Quickly.
I love me some Danny Berger, don't I? Danny Berger.
Uncle Berger, the hamburger.
Yeah.
I can take a man who had himself a great, great week last week. I think he carries it over. Will Zalatoris. I'll take Happy Gilmore's
caddy.
But
I'll take him. I got Corey Connors, Canadian.
Is Hughes in the field? He's got
Yes.
Be. I'll take Mac. Mackenzie Hughes. That'd
all
be
right.
Canadian.
I've
there
got it,
it
all down.
You got it listed, Noodles?
Yeah.
It's all good?
Ready to rock.
Okay. I love it. All right. Well, it's been a good one today. Tomorrow we got the Leafs in action. We'll be coming off a Raptor game. Al's brother may be factoring into the show tomorrow.
Nice.
We'll tell you why and how. It's been a fun one. Shout out to everyone behind the scenes, as always. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.